Let's get at it. Good morning, Rock Church. How art thou?
Good.
Good. Awesome. My name's Brian. If I haven't met you, please, before you leave, don't do this. Be like trying to annoy me. Ignore me. I know I'm super annoying, but I would love to meet you before you leave. If I've never met you, please do that. I would love to say hi. So this week, we're continuing on our Get Wisdom series. We're looking at the book of Proverbs. We're asking God to give us wisdom. And we're talking about patience this week. I know you're super bummed. You're hoping we were going to be talking about sex some more, right? I know. I'm sorry. Maybe next week. Who knows? I know it's not. Sorry. Today, we're talking about patience. And I don't know if you know this, but we live in a world that has never been more impatient. With the advances in modern technology and our phones, we've never had access to so much stuff so quickly. And that's not really a good thing. It's teaching us to be really impatient with things in our lives. And so today we're going to be looking at God's Word. We're really going to look at one verse, but we're going to look at God's Word, and we're going to unpack a whole bunch of that because we believe as God's people, God wants to grow us as patient people, and we need patience. Guys, we don't have it. We don't have patience. It's a dying art. For those of us who grew up in a world before cell phones and like smartphones and before Wi-Fi, I believe we, the kids of the 80s, right? I believe we, God taught us a thing about patience that I'm scared that my kids and our kiddos and our grandchildren, that they're not even going to be able to comprehend. I'll give you a few examples, and I'm scared to ask, but is there anybody in the room that does not know what these things are? These are called compact discs. That's a CD Walkman, if you could afford to the batteries. Those are really expensive, right? So back in the day, music, our bands would come out with new records, and it was so exciting. Like, you would anticipate for your new, the Metallica records coming out in November, and you were so excited, and they do interviews in Rolling Stone, and you're like, oh, only 4 more months till that record comes out, and then the new video comes out, Enter Sandman, and you're like, are you kidding me? That's unbelievable. And then the record still didn't come out for 2 more months, and then that record finally came out. You had to wait till the weekend because your mom's not going to take you to the heavy metal shop on a Tuesday afternoon after school, so you have to wait till Saturday to get your band's favorite record. And then when you got in the car, our car, 1992 Mitsubishi Mirage, we didn't have a CD player. So I had to wait all those months patiently to get that CD and then hold it in my hand for the whole car ride home. And then you had to listen to your CD in the confines of your own room, and that's what you were limited to. And that's just what was normal, and it was awesome. And God taught us about patience in a really interesting, stupid way, I guess, right? That was just real life, and we didn't think of it any other ways. But now, on our phones, 2019, that's not the case. I don't have to wait for my favorite band's record to come out. It just shows up on iTunes or Spotify instantly. I have every album ever. I don't have to go to the record store and get a discography and start collecting. No, I have access to every song that's ever been recorded, ever, in the history of mankind on my phone right now. I don't have to be patient about anything. And now it's even worse, because now we're so more impatient. Now I don't even have to scroll through my iTunes. Now I just get to yell at Alexa, and she obeys me. I say, Alexa, play Wilson Phillips' Greatest Hits right now. And guess what? My wish is my command. I don't have to search. I don't have to be patient about anything. Just give it to me now. Another example. Back in the day when our favorite movies came out, and then they were done leaving the movie theaters, they went to these places called video rental stores. Anybody guys know what I'm talking about? We called it Blockbuster. Who, praise God, they've gone out of business with their demonic late fees. So praise God that they have gone under. But you'd wait for months for your favorite movie to, you know, once a movie left the theater, you'd wait forever, and then it would finally show up at Blockbuster. And so what you'd do is you'd go to this store, and they had thousands and thousands of DVDs. It was incredible. It's kind of like Netflix, but you had to put pants on and go look for, like, the actual titles. And it was amazing. So you'd get dressed, and you'd go to Blockbuster. And here's the kicker, though. They only had a certain amount. They only had X amount of copies of that movie. So when you would go to pick up your copy of Weekend at Bernie's, you'd go and show up, and you'd find it, and you'd see it. Oh, there it is. And they only had 10 copies, but guess what? They were all gone. So what'd you have to do? You'd have to come back the next day. God was teaching us about patience in such a silly way that now we don't have to think about that at all. We have every movie ever instantly, right? I have hundreds of DVDs. It gets worse. Don't judge me, but I have hundreds of DVDs. And my son will be like, hey, Dad, let's watch Indiana Jones. I'm like, cool, I own that. I know exactly where that is, but I ain't got 45 seconds to go grab it. So what do you do? Well, let's see if Netflix has it. No. Let's see if Hulu has it. No. Maybe Amazon Prime. No, really? Nobody has it? So what do? You rent it on iTunes. Because I don't have that kind of patience. I bought it 12 years ago, and now I'm renting it again because who's got time for that? That's the world we live in. Don't judge me. You do it too. We've matured into this people who we just have no patience, right? And growing up in the 80s and 90s, I think we learned about patience in such simple ways and such silly things that, again, like I said, my kids will never understand. Your grandchildren, our kids will never understand. And I know there's many of you in this room who are older than me, and you're like, son, settle down, sit down. You don't even know what you're talking about. I know. Can you believe how impatient I am? Imagine what it's going to be like in the future. But we're all guilty like this. We've matured into people who have so little patience. We don't want to call and order a pizza. We want to walk into Little Caesars and we want it to be hot and ready. Yeah, I ain't got time. If you go to McDonald's, you don't even have to talk to people anymore at the register. They have touch screens where you can order your food. If you have no patience, you don't want to deal with people, you can just order your food on a touch screen now. That's the world we live in. We have apps that do everything for us instantly. I ordered something on Amazon today, and if it doesn't show up at 5 p.m., I'm going to freak out. You know what I'm talking about? There's Audible. You know, sure, I could read books, but I mean, I don't have the patience to actually sit down, so I want to pay money to have somebody read that book to me. I want to go to Target, got to get the groceries, but man, juggling the kiddos, getting everybody dressed, and oh man, with the baby goes to the diaper, and I got to change this. You know what? I don't got time for that. I'll just get on the Target app. I'll have somebody do my grocery shopping for me, and then they'll deliver it to me, which a lot of those things aren't necessarily bad, but we're just kind of being bred and turning into just so impatient people. We need everything instantly. We've never been more impatient. The technology and all that comes with it, we need immediate results and immediate satisfaction and gratification and stimulation, and it's not benefiting us spiritually. It's not. It's deteriorating our patience because all of life doesn't work like that. There's not buttons that are going to fix and give you whatever you need immediately. And this rolls over into serious areas of our lives, right? Like just waiting in line at a grocery store or sitting in traffic or waiting for that perfect job to line up or finishing school or God guiding, waiting for that perfect spouse with our own relationships. There's not an app really that can help in a lot of those things. Having patience with others, being able to wait is a dying art. And God's people from ages ago, they needed help to grow in patience in ways that they would probably laugh at us. We'll go to heaven and they'll laugh at us. Really? You had to wait till Tuesday for that? Are you kidding me? But they needed to grow in patience, and so do we in 2019. So we're looking at Proverbs. God's word is wisdom. Every word of God proves true. And in Proverbs 19, it says this, and this is what we're really going to unpack and dive into and come back to. But in Proverbs 19, it says very simply that wisdom yields patience. Proverbs 19, verse 11, a person's wisdom yields patience. It's to one's glory to overlook an offense. We are in a series called Get Wisdom. We are asking for God to grow us in wisdom. And he tells us right here, you find a patient man, you find a patient woman, and you found wisdom. Wisdom is being able to demonstrate patience. If you've got a good grasp on wisdom, then you will most certainly demonstrate patience. A person who has wisdom is able to overlook an offense. Or you read this verse in the negative, a person's foolishness. A person's foolishness yields or produces impatience. It's to their shame to be unforgiving, to not be able to look over an offense. We don't want to be that people that read this and go, that sounds good, but do the opposite. I believe patience is a spiritual art. I don't believe we're born with it. I do not believe, we can talk about it, we can debate it. I don't think we are born with patience. Go hang out with an infant when they're hungry and tell them to be patient. See how that goes. You might as well be telling them to knit a sweater. And as we grow up and we become more and more adult, we become more entitled, we become more self-gratifying. The more experiences we have, the more incapable we are of being patient or being able to overlook an offense, which patience always ends up leading to anger, right? And then anger leads to repentance. And Pastor Josh is going to be talking about anger, I believe, next week or the following week. So we won't dive too much into when we fail at patience and we fall into anger. So Josh will talk about anger a little bit more. But when we think about overlooking offense, that takes patience. When somebody violates my patience, something doesn't go the way that we want, or somebody ruffles your feathers, we don't have patience. We don't have what it takes. But God's word says wisdom yields patience. I believe it's a spiritual art. And guys, I'm not a patient person. I want to be. I try to be. I see good fruit in seasons and areas in my life, and I see bad fruit. There are some ways that I can be so patient, and then others, just not really. Like I can show up to a meeting, and you show up 25 minutes late. It's not that big of a deal for me. I'm not really, it's not really going to bug me. I'm pretty patient with that. But then, if it takes my kids like more than 90 seconds to put their shoes on and like walk into the car, guys, you've got to be joking, baby. How many hundreds of times have we put shoes on? It's a buckle. Check this out. You're locked. You're ready to go. How does that not take more than 8 seconds? Guys, so you got to pray for me. But don't judge me, guys. You're guilty of that too. Next time you're at a red light, right? You're just sitting there. Guy in front of you, just chilling, not paying attention. He's picking his boogers or he's looking down at his phone. And then the light turns green, and like a split second after it turns green, he's not moving. What do you do? Yeah, right. None of you are like, well, like, what I do is I grab my Bible and I get on, I go, Lord, I just pray for this. I pray for this wretched sinner right now. God, would you redeem this time? No. What do? You honk your horn, you yell, you kick and scream, you stop picking your boogers, idiot. Are you kidding me? The Office starts in 8 minutes, and it's the episode where Dwight gets a concussion, and I better not miss it. Are you kidding me? I'm important. I have somewhere to be. Just me? No, that's you. Patience hard. In a more serious way, right? When we've been offended, where something doesn't go the way we want, or someone hurts me, or the kiddos aren't listening, or maybe it's your season of life. You're just discontent. It's like, God, where's the job? I need that better paying job. God, where's the spouse that I desire? God, why does this pain from here down to here not gone away? God? Which leads to our first of many points, getting wisdom from God's word. Patience yields wisdom. And your first of 5 points this morning is that faith is expressed through patience. In Galatians 5, the Apostle Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience. Patience. In 1 Corinthians 13, the love verses, I should say 13. Oh, it does say 13. Sorry, my eyes. I've had coffee. I'm seeing a lot of lights and jitters. The love verses. Love is patient. Wisdom will yield this fruit of patience. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives. It's patience, and it's a gift from God. When people drive us nuts, right? When life hands you all that it does or it doesn't, our faith is going to be expressed through patience. Demonstrating patience towards others, honestly, is not very easy. People are messy. They get on our nerves, and the first thing to go is patience. It's just so easy to fly off the handles when somebody else has upset you, isn't it? When someone interrupts you, or they speak harshly towards you, or they step over you, or you feel unappreciated, we can be so quick to snap back, to put them in their place, to do away with them, and move on, right? We're so easy to do that. And I don't know about you, but when you think about a patient person, who comes to mind? Yeah, don't say Jesus. That's a spoiler. We're going to get to that. No, just entertain me for a minute. When I think of a patient person, I think of television's greatest mother, Marge Simpson. Obviously, right? My 3-pound brain, Marge Simpson. You should pray for her, right? She's put up with the biggest boneheaded husband for 30 years, the most dysfunctional family. And also think about this. Her children don't age. So for the last 30 years, Marge Simpson's had a 10-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 1-year-old. What a powerful, incredible woman, am I right? She's the backbone of America's most dysfunctional family. And what holds everything together, quite honestly, is that she's the most patient, long-suffering, slow-to-anger character in the history of television. And like Marge could attest over and over, and like we could, patience is really difficult. When circumstances handed us things and life is hard, not blowing up in anger is really tough. And God's word speaks to us. Patience is difficult. But patience is the ability to not lash out the way we want, to not respond in anger. And I believe it's a spiritual gift that God gives us. It's a fruit of the Spirit to be able to express faith through patience. That's a godly characteristic. And that's the heart of Solomon that he was writing to here in Proverbs 19. That's the heart of Paul. As God's people, we must remember who we are. We must remember who we belong to. We are to be faith-expressing, patient people. So where should this be demonstrated? Most importantly, the people closest to us, am I right? Your spouse, your children, your coworkers. There's nothing more important than your family and those relationships, right? And I hope your capacity for patience is really high towards your loved ones. You should be more patient with them than anybody. And if we're honest, many times the ones who are closest to us, they're the ones we are the least patient with. We've experienced that time after time. It's often those people closest to us that God has placed in our life. Those are the ones who are going to test our patience more than anybody or be on the receiving end of our impatience. A few examples. Your kiddo is disobeying and there's just their sin and then there's more sin and there's the sin on top of that sin and then the sin of trying to cover up that sin and you just want to blow up. God's teaching us patience there, baby. Settle down. Your spouse feeling unappreciated, there's that lack of communication or that snarky comment that they made when you were bringing the groceries in earlier today, and little things like that, they just start piling up and then starts chipping away at your patience. Or it's at church, you go, wow, I can't believe that person's still struggling, they haven't conquered that sin, wow, who would have thought, I'm not going to talk to them anymore, or like, wow, look who didn't show up to serve again. No, God says, no, faith is expressed through patience. Oftentimes, just the people closest to us. I'm really not really happy where my career is going. God's saying patience is the spiritual fruit of God in our life that believes, God, you're going to have to walk me through this. God, I need you to help me with this. And that's faith. Our faith will be expressed through patience. Or the opposite of that. Your next point, fear is expressed through impatience. This is Isaiah 41. Did you know that this is the most searched verse online in 2018? Which you go, oh, that's encouraging. People are reading this Bible. They're searching for, this is the most, YouVersion and Bible apps and Bible Gateway and Google. People are, millions and millions of people are searching Isaiah 41. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen. Praise God. That's such an encouraging verse. But in the negative, you know why people are searching for this verse? Because they're scared. They're anxious. They're in fear. They're depressed. They don't have patience. They don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We've never been more worried and anxious. We've never been more impatient. And when we find ourselves with that heart, just restless, agitated, just quick to anger, that's the fruit of impatience. It's a demonstration, honestly, of unbelief. It's a response that says, I don't think you can help with this, God. I think you can't help me here. It's a response to fear. When you're not able to handle something that's, you know, out of your control, or you just have this tendency to fill your hearts up with doubt and lies that, you know, God, he must not be good. If he's not helping me with this, if he hasn't provided me for this today, then clearly he's not good. God, how come I'm still not happy with this? That's a sign of distrust. That's fear. It'll be expressed through impatience. But wisdom says, No, no, be patient. Trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. That's faith. Fear is the opposite of that. But God's Spirit is in us as believers, right? The fruit of the Spirit is patience. Love is patience. God teaches us about patience. God draws close to us in patience. Patience is expressed through faith by saying, God, I'm going to trust you here. Lord, you're going to have to help me to love this kid today. He's mine. I don't want to wait anymore for this, but I'm going to trust you. That's faith. That's patience. And fear and impatience is the opposite. Impatience pours out, God, I'm done pouring into this person. I'm done being patient with this guy. I'm going to tell them how it is. They're never going to learn. Or, God, I can't wait for you to show up any longer. I'm out of here. God, I'm sick of waiting. Why is this problem not going away? I've been waiting. I've been waiting for who knows how long now, and you haven't delivered this from me. God, I thought going to church was going to fix all my problems. I'm out of here. Maybe you've had thoughts like that before with your family, your career, parenting, your friendships, your spouse. It just feels like just discouraged, like nothing's getting better. I'm not going anywhere. God, where is the light at the end of this tunnel? And when you're in those moments, there's really two responses, right? It's either faith, trust, or fear and disbelief. Faith is going to be expressed through patience, but fear is expressed through impatience. So I want to ask you, no, I want you to ask yourself, all right? I want you to ask yourself, are you more driven towards fear or faith? It's a little heart check, right? When things are out of your control. What are you driven towards, fear or faith? I'll be honest, I've been towards fear in the most silly ways. I am so impatient with the dumbest things. My wife will call me on the phone, you guys, and I'll be home, I'll be working, and I'll go, hey, babe, what's up? And all she'll say is, hey. And then I go, oh, no, oh, Lord, God, something's wrong with the kids. Are they okay? Are you going to the hospital? What's going on? Is everything okay? Did you get a car accident? She's like, yeah, dude, settle down. We'll be home in like 10 minutes. Can you turn the oven on? I'm like, oh, God, thank you, Lord. Oh, I thought you guys flipped over the car or something. I'm just driven towards fear. That's who I am. I'll get a text message from you guys. Like, hey, man, when you got a minute, I'd love to talk with you. I'm like, oh, no, great, cool. Okay, so his wife's leaving him, or like he got really drunk and he got some really dumb tattoo and his kids hate him. I'm like, oh, no, what's going on? I'm like, okay, what's going on? And I call him. He's like, oh, yeah, we're pregnant, man. I'm really excited. I'm like, oh, praise God. I thought you ruined your life. Anybody else like that? In the most unrealistic ways, I'm just so quick to be bent towards fear, but that's never ends well. Are you driven towards faith or fear? It's a good question to ask yourself. And when you find yourself heading towards fear, we need to remember that we have the ultimate source of comfort in our corner. We have the one who understands patience and who displayed patience perfectly. His name is Jesus. Jesus is our perfect example. Over and over again, Jesus was so patient towards others. He was patient towards his own mama. He was patient towards, remember, John and James. God, we want the coolest seats up in heaven. Will you make sure we have cool thrones too? And then the request of their mom is the same thing. Patient with Peter time after time after he denied Jesus. When people didn't understand his teaching, when Jesus shows up at the first Easter Sunday on that beach and talks to Peter again, patient with the men who crucified him. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. That's incredible patience. And Jesus, his whole life was spent with just dumb, lazy, selfish, slow to understand people. And how did he respond to them every time? Patience. And Jesus wants us to learn from him as our perfect example. And he wants us to remember that patience wisdom yields patience, and God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, the fruit of God coming into the life of a Christian person is patience. God has equipped us. We are able to demonstrate patience. It is a mark of genuine believers that understands, man, okay, God, I guess this world doesn't revolve around me. People are going to rub me the wrong way every day for the rest of my life. Okay, I'm going to need you to help me here. I'm going to need some patience like Jesus. When we express patience like that, man, God really blesses that. When we go, God, I'm going to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. You want to see God build and improve your patience with others? You want to see God improve and build on your able to be content with your season of life? You want to see God grow you in your faith and your relationship with him? Here's what you do. Do not rely on your own understanding. That's the best advice I can give you. Trust in God's wisdom. Trust in his understanding. Look to Jesus. Learn from his example. That's true wisdom. Jesus is our perfect example when it comes to patience. We ain't got it. He's perfect at it. We need to trust in him and not rely on our own silly, foolish, sinful 3-pound brains. Jesus is our perfect example. And next, we've got to believe this. That God is at work in your patience. Romans 12, be patient in tribulation, in suffering, in trials, in hardships. Be patient. You are able to do that, Christian, because it is God's Spirit in you that equips you with the ability to be patient. Or Colossians 3, put on then as God's chosen one. Put it on. This is who you are. Put the pants on. This is who you are. Kindness, humility, meekness, patience. That's who we are. As believers, we are every day becoming more like Jesus, becoming more like a patient Christian. That's called sanctification, right? It's God doing, he who began a good work in me will bring it to completion. That's called sanctification. God's going to grow me every single day. His Spirit is in me, transforming me, renewing my heart and my mind to be less like my old self and more like patient Jesus. God is at work in every area of your life to grow you to be more like Jesus, and patience is just one of the ways, a huge way that God will grow you to be more like Jesus. And it's not always the most drastic ways. There's no app that by a press of a button will deliver a package of Holy Spirit patience to your door every day. Well, yet, I don't know, probably. Somebody will probably try and make money on that. It's going to be the most basic, normal, everyday things already happening in your life. God's going to teach you about himself. God's going to teach us about ourselves in the most basic ways. Think about your family, how God uses your family to grow you in patience. Your kids aren't responding to discipline. They're always testing you. You're super frustrated. You read the verse, children are a blessing from the Lord. You go like, no, I think my kids are exempt from that, God. No, God's saying, baby, be patient in tribulation. Think about this. Think about, I have a child. His name is you. And you're incredibly foolish. You've done so many foolish things. And guess who's been so patient with you? Me. God's using your children to show us, man, I've got to learn to be more patient. God's really patient with me. I need to be more patient towards my babies. God will grow you in patience. With your spouse, there's conflict and there's hurt feelings and you don't feel appreciated and you feel like you've been trampled and walked over, and God wants us to teach. He wants to teach us. You know what? Jesus is saying, you know what? I understand what it feels like to have your bride walk all over you. I understand that. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ goes, I understand patience with somebody who rubs you the wrong way. I understand that perfectly, which makes us go, oh man, Jesus, you've been so patient with me. How can I not be patient towards my bride? God's going to use your family, your spouse, to grow you in patience. God's going to use your singleness, that's you, to grow you in patience. You didn't expect to be so sad. God, wow, this is way more lonely than I thought. I thought I was sad then. Here we are 10 years later, even more sad. And Jesus is teaching us, you know what? I understand those feelings. I understand what it feels like to be abandoned, to feel abandoned, to be totally alone. And yet Jesus was so patient with everything, with fulfilling the will of God. Jesus trusted the Father. He was so patient when in his tribulations and in his suffering. God will grow you in patience with your singleness. Or maybe it's with your job. Your coworker got the raise. Like, are you kidding me, God? Really? They don't even show up on time ever, and they got the raise, and God's teaching you. You know what? Oh, I need to be content. The fact that I even woke up today, and I can breathe, and I can get up and physically go to work. And yeah, that person makes $8 more a year than me now. Cool, whatever. But you know what? God's saying, you know what? You can have all the money in the world, and you're never going to be satisfied. God wants to teach us there's something better than just that raise. We need to be patient. Or maybe it's no job. Hoo-wee, God, I didn't think I was going to be jobless for 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. Wow, okay. God's teaching us, hey, you know what? I own all the cattle and all the hills. Your job, your employment, that's nothing out of my control. I know what I'm doing here. God wants to grow us in patience. In the most simple ways, God's at work in us every day, teaching us to be more satisfied in him, growing us to become more like Jesus. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is patience. So whatever your season of life is, whatever your status and your friendships, whatever's going on that really just rubs you and grinds your gears, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about how God wants you to apply this to your life when you leave here today. I want you to ask yourself this. Where does God need to grow me in patience? If wisdom yields patience, if God is going to equip me with patience, then God, who do I need to show that to? Where do I need to grow in patience towards others? Think about that. Maybe there's a person that's coming to your mind, right? Man, I've really got to tone it down. I am so impatient with them. I hope you think, oh, that's my spouse. Oh, those are my kids. Man, God, you've got to help me grow in patience. Maybe you need to grow in patience with that family that always shows up 30 minutes late every week. Maybe it's that sister in the faith who knows everything about everything. And then when she starts talking, your eyes just start rolling to the back of your head. Here she goes. Maybe it's the person sitting next to you right now. Maybe they're all of the above. Maybe it's that jerk in the car tomorrow morning who's picking his boogers. And like, are you kidding me? Do you know who I am? Maybe it's the guy at McDonald's who always gets your burger wrong. He's like, dude, I tell you every time, no pickles. How can you mess that up? I hope it's not the McDonald's guy. I hope it's somebody you're way more personal, relatable with. But just think about one person. I know you could probably, there's probably 100 people in your life that you need to be more patient with. But just think about one, and I think about them, maybe write their initials down on your hand or on your handout. Hopefully it's not your wife, because she'll go, cool, those are my initials, buddy, thanks. No, but think about, who is that person I just need to, oh, they just rub me the wrong way. Maybe it's your parents. Oh, okay. God, help me to obey mom and dad. Help me to love them. I want you to think about this. Write this down. This is free. You can have this. This is what God wants you to take home. God has called me to demonstrate faith in him by demonstrating patience towards them. That's what God wants to do in your life, Christian. That's what his Holy Spirit is doing in your life. God has called me to demonstrate faith in him by demonstrating patience towards him and her and them. We need to ask God to give us wisdom to be patient. And our last point, we must never forget that we, as Christians, we are not alone when it comes to the trials that we're experiencing, the things that are just killing our ability to be patient. We must remember this, that God's people have a track record of patience. We don't get immunity here because we're Christians. Life's still hard. Life's still not going to go the way we totally want it to. We must be people who trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and do not rely on our own understanding. That takes faith and that takes patience. That's a consistent virtue, a character quality of believers throughout time who found comfort in this, that whatever they were struggling with or that they were not alone or that whatever you're struggling with, you are not alone. There are believers from days of old and there are beloveds in the room next to you who understands what you're walking through. They've been there. You're not alone in what it is you may be experiencing. God's people have always had a track record. They've always been marked by patience. You think about Jacob, right? Just go through, you could just name a book, name a dude in the Bible, name a girl in the Bible. Jacob worked for 7 years to marry Rachel. And then he got duped by her dad another 7 years before he could have his bride. That's patience. Abraham and Sarah waited years for the birth of their son, Isaac. I think it was like 20 years, 25 years. Patience. Joseph's brothers set up, they staged some fake murder of their own brother, sold him into slavery. And he suffered patiently until God delivered him. God raised him up. God blessed him. God was with him. What they meant for evil, right? God meant for good. And then there's Job. Where do you start with Job? Talk about patience and suffering. Then there's God's people with Moses for 40 years in the wilderness. Then there's God's people for hundreds of years patiently waiting for their Messiah. Like the psalmist often prayed, Lord, I will patiently wait for you. Patience, Christians. We must have it. We have it. Do you use it? Your life is going to be full of seasons and trials, of stuff that's just not going to go the way you want. You may be waiting for the Lord to do something that your heart really desires, and you're just sick and tired of being patient. Or you see what others have that you don't, and it makes you sad. You go, how come I can't have that? I'm sick of not having that. You start comparing yourself to believers. Then you start comparing yourself to unbelievers. Their family always looks perfect on Facebook. I can't even get my kids to put their shoes on. Are you kidding me, God? Where are you today? Patience. God, she just had a baby 10 days ago, and look at her. She's in her bikini at the beach, and I'm here. My baby turns 3 next week, and I'm still in maternity clothes. God, why? God, why can't we be like them? How come they have the things? How come everything works out perfectly for them? Those things are going to try your patience, but we must remember that patience is a mark of genuine faith. That's who we are. God equips it. God gives it to us, but do we use it? Do we activate it? Beloved, this is true. You are not out of God's will because you experienced trials or because what you desire hasn't shown up on your watch. God is growing us through patience. He's yielding wisdom in our life. It's a fruit of his Spirit in our life. Expressing faith through patience ultimately means this. It means that God's not on my time. But God's with me during this time. It says, okay, God, you're God, I'm not. And there's this that I really want, and you're not helping me with that. And faith is believing, God, you're not on my time, but you're with me. I'm not alone. You've not forsaken me. You've not abandoned me. You will strengthen me. You are with me. I will wait patiently on the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will not lean on my own understanding. Patience is a mark of genuine faith. God is not on my time, but God is with me during this time. And that means you may have to work at that job for 5 more years before that person who got the raise gets fired, and then you get that $12 a year. Woo! That you were patiently waiting for. The Christian spouse that you've been desiring, he or she doesn't show up in the first 2.5 years of you getting plugged into a local church. You go, okay, God, I'm going to wait. I'm going to be patient here. Or your kiddos may continue to press your buttons up until they're 33, 34 years old. Pray for my mama. I know. Patience is a mark of genuine faith. So I want to challenge you on your way home today. There's some discussion questions for you. In the Rock Church app, if you click on today's message, you look at the message, the digital blanks, there's some discussion questions, just a couple. Physical challenge, minus the physical. I encourage you to just go through those questions and talk with one another. The people you're sitting at lunch with, that you're driving home with, the kiddos with lunch, the grandkiddos, whatever it ends up being this afternoon, take a few minutes to talk, hopefully, your spouse. Y'all should talk about a few of these questions I've given you. Physical challenge, do that. And then ask yourself this, God, where do you want to grow me in patience? No matter what season or trial you're going through, whatever's testing your patience, it's your family, it's your career, your money, it's your loneliness, your discontentment, your relationships, maybe it's all of those things. May we be people marked as patient who are desperately depending on the Lord to help us, that his Holy Spirit is in us, that he is with us, and he is able to help us. And brothers and sisters, we must remember this truth. This is what we are patiently awaiting. This is what we're hoping for. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're waiting for. No matter what this life may or may not bring, that ultimately we are patiently awaiting this day when Jesus will return to bring us home, to bring with him a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more fear, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more waiting. We will just be walking hand in hand with King Jesus for eternity. That's what we patiently should be waiting for. Everything in this life is but a glimpse in a mirror, and then it's over. That's what we're waiting for. I hope you believe that. May God give us patience as we await for that glorious day where we are united to him forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to give us patience. Patience for today. God, forgive us for the patience we didn't have yesterday. God, give us patience for tomorrow. Give us patience for the car ride home next week. God, we need more of your divine help here. And Father, I admit that there are times where I just feel like there's a meltdown waiting to happen before I even get out of bed. Would you remind us, would you remind me that you can come to our help? You are able to help us in those moments when we don't have the patience for ourselves. We don't have patience with anyone else. Would you give us your divine power that is able to renew our patience? God, when I don't feel humble and patient towards my spouse or my children or my friends, will you meet me with your wisdom and your grace? Will you supply us with more of your patience? God, when we've been offended, when we've been upset, when we've been betrayed, we need more of your Holy Spirit to guide us. We ask you to help us love our friends, our spouses, our children, the way that you do, Jesus, perfectly tender and merciful and gracious and kind and loving and patient towards us. Thank you that you are the most patient. Would you help us? We need your word. We need your truth. We need your wisdom. We trust in you, Jesus. We don't want to be people who lean on our own understanding. Like we sang earlier, God, like every heartache works for your glory. I love that. God, and every good comes from your hand, God. We love you. And we do believe that. We believe that you will work all things together for your good, Jesus, because you love us. And it's in your beautiful, precious, holy name we pray. Amen.